The Lord began to deal with me this afternoon. I got to just lay down for just, I don't know, about 30 minutes and meditate on some things. And the Lord began to deal with me about changing the subject matter for tonight. And we will start a new series next Friday, Lord willing. But tonight, the Lord has led me to minister on this subject. I want you to write the title down. The title is Problems Equal Opportunities. Problems equal opportunities. Now, before we jump into that, I thought a little laughter might do us good like a medicine. Amen? I thought I'd just share these. I don't know where I found this, but these are actual church bulletin typos. And hopefully none of these will ever show up in our bulletins here at World Outreach Christian Center. But these are actual things taken from bulletins where they maybe, you know, mistyped it or it just wasn't worded properly. And I thought some of these were cute. Here's the first one. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. That could have been said a little bit different. Oh, this is a good one. This afternoon there will be meetings in the north and south ends of the church, and children will be christened at both ends. Hallelujah. I rebuke these from our pulpit. Amen. This Sunday being Easter, we will ask Mrs. Daly to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. Oh my gosh. Miss Daly probably left the church over that one. So, you know, I thought before we get into problems, equal opportunities, I better get you smiling a little bit. Oh, here's a good one. This is an exhortation that, you know, everybody in the church was supposed to take heed to. Smile at someone who is hard to love. Say hell to someone who doesn't care much about you. They meant hello. They left off the O. Smile at someone who is hard to love. Say hell to someone who doesn't care much about you. That one little letter did that. My gosh. Some of these I'm not going to read. Here's one. The ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind, and they can be seen in the church basement on Friday. Oh my gosh, that's bad. Now, sometimes you do things in memory of someone, you know, to honor someone who's passed on. Well, this is kind of interesting. This was in the bulletin. A new loudspeaker system has been installed in the church, and it was given by one of our members in memory of his wife. A loudspeaker system. Okay, let's see. The eighth graders will be presenting Shakespeare's Hamlet in the church basement on Friday at 7 p.m. The congregation is invited to attend this tragedy. Not a lot of faith in what they're going to do. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Everybody say laughter. Doeth good like a medicine. All right, Ephesians 4. You know, when we think about problems, most of us want to rebuke them. Most of us want to cast them out. And most of us want to avoid problems. But one thing I've observed in traveling over the years and seeing pastors go through various situations is that winners, and I want you to put this down, winners view problems as opportunities. Winners, and I'm talking about a Christian winner. How many of you know not all Christians are winning the race? I mean, they're Christians, they're on the way to heaven, but they're not very happy on the way. But winners view problems as opportunities to trust God. What we might call losers, Christian losers, or Christians who are in defeat, they see problems as something to be avoided at all costs. Now, I'm not suggesting that we get up in the morning and start claiming, oh, I claim my dose of problems today. But I think the attitude and the view that we take when problems come our way is very important. How we conduct ourselves in them. Now, I think it would be good to just review before we look at some scriptures, particularly on problems, tests, and trials. I think it would be good to remind ourselves of what is the very purpose of God in our lives. How many of you want to know the very basic purpose of God for your life? You know, we say, well, my purpose is to start a church. Well, that is a purpose, but that is not the basic purpose of God for Jason Peebles. We say, well, God wants my business to prosper. Well, I believe that is a purpose or a plan, but that is not the most foundational purpose and plan of God. And let's read it in Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. I want you to mark this. Here is the purpose and plan of God for your life. For the perfecting of the saints. Another way of saying that is the maturing of the saints for the work of ministry. So in other words, you finally get mature to the point that you're not just focused on your needs, you're helping others. Amen? You know, an immature person is totally focused on self. And in a moment he refers to children, no longer children. So a child, and we all know this, those of us that have been around children, children are focused on self. They are not considerate of others. That's something they have to learn. Verse 12, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and I want you to mark this, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure, here it is, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I will say this, that God's determined purpose for every single Christian, regardless of what brand you are, you know, Baptist, Methodist, Spirit-filled, charismatic, whatever label you like, I believe that God's most foundational purpose is to mature us into the fullness of the stature, or another way of saying that is to the image of Jesus. So God wants Jason Peebles to develop to the point that in whatever situation I find myself, I'm reflecting Jesus. I heard somebody say this. They say, pressure squeezes you, and when you're squeezed, what comes out? Hopefully Jesus will come out. Sometimes the fruit of the Spirit comes out, but hallelujah, how many of you know sometimes flesh oozes out? So you're in a situation, you find yourself a little more snappy than usual. Or you find yourself, you know, under some type of a financial pressure, and you find yourself more short, you know, you're short patient with someone. And we need to realize that God's intended purpose in whatever we face in life, and some things are initiated by God, we understand some things are initiated by the devil, but the way we respond to either of those categories is all important so that we are on our way to maturing in Jesus. I want everyone to say this out loud. I desire
to reflect
fully the image of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I grant you permission to form Jesus in me. Now, you see that idea of form Jesus, that's foreign to a lot of people. Well, hallelujah, I've got Jesus in me. Well, we won't turn there for the sake of time, but the Bible talks about you have the new man, now put on the new man. And so though Jesus Christ is in you by the Holy Spirit, He's hooked up to your spirit, we have to allow Jesus to begin to change our perspectives, our attitudes, our responses, our world vision, the way we think about our money, the way we think about what is valuable, what do we treasure in life. And all that goes into Jesus not only coming into our spirit, but Jesus rising up and beginning to form us and shape us in every aspect. And I must tell you that until you get your resurrected body, that's going to be an ongoing process. Somebody say, help me, Jesus. All right, now, I want to show you another passage. Go with me to Colossians. We're talking about problems equal opportunities, and that is an attitude that you must adopt in life. You know, problems, many times we want to, rebuke them, cast them out, run from them. And I'm convinced that some of the things that come our way, God is wanting us to respond in dependency on Him until He can move us to the next level. Joyce Meyer told me this once. She said, new levels, bigger devils. When she was praying over me some years ago, and I was at her office in the St. Louis area, and I didn't really go there to see her. I went there to see her son, and he was walking me through the office, and it just so happened Joyce was there. And so she came in and she said, I hear you. And I'll kind of preach at Laura here. She said, I hear that you're going to get on radio. I said, I believe that's the direction the Lord's taken us in. At that time, she wasn't on television. In fact, she was that day she was celebrating her 100th radio station. Can you imagine that? Now she's on well over 200 and on, I don't know, probably even more than that, television stations. But they had a big kind of like a birthday cake. It said, happy 100, and the office was celebrating the 100th radio station. She said, well, I want to tell you something. She said, I'm impressed that I'm supposed to lay hands on you and pray an anointing over you for radio. And I said, hallelujah, put both hands on me, amen. If you can, get your feet up here on the top of my head too. You know, I want it all, amen. She said, well, she said some years ago, she said at a meeting, Marilyn Hickey was getting ready to leave radio and go into television. And she said, Marilyn Hickey turned around and said, I'm supposed to pass on my anointing for radio to you, Joyce. And so it's kind of an interesting history there. And that anointing obviously did transfer, and I'm claiming the transfer too. Amen. Third generation. So point is this. Before she prayed for me, she said, I'll have to tell you something. She said, do you understand what you're getting yourself into? And you never really do. How many of you know there's a lot of things you've done in life, if you had known fully, you would have said, no way am I going to do that. But aren't you glad that you didn't know fully? And so she said, well, I'm telling you, you're getting ready to go to a new level of trusting God, a new level of reaching people, a new level of finance, a new level of everything. And she said, I will tell you this, when you go to a new level, there's bigger devils. Now, that's not what I wanted to hear. I did not want to hear that. And so any time that you're making a step forward in God in your life, I will tell you, there will be new devils and problems assigned to you. The good news is, if we respond properly, if we see that problem, that affliction, that challenge, that persecution, that test, that trial, label it what you want, that financial challenge, if we look at that and say, you know what, this is an opportunity. Everyone say opportunity. Do y'all know what an opportunity is? Do you know what an opportunity is? It's something that's there for the taking. That's not going to come and take you. It's something there for the taking. Old Roberts used to say, miracle is either coming at you or going past you. You better reach out and get one. That problem is an opportunity for me to increase my dependency on God. And as I increase my trust on God, I will move to a new level of spiritual growth and development, where my flesh, everybody say my flesh, my flesh would like to run. Oh, this isn't popular. This isn't, you know, what Christians want to hear. Oh, they want the blessing. But before, it's interesting, before she laid hands on me and blessed me, she said, new levels, bigger devils.
Amen.
And basically, she was saying, you still want me to pray? Or do you want to run? I'm telling you, there's times where our flesh does not want to go through something. But God will not turn us loose about it. And God is holding our feet to the fire because it's the will of God. And He's saying, if you'll trust me, you will move to a new level of Christ being formed in you. If you run, you flunk the course. It's kind of like the young rebellious boy that a lot of families have experienced. They don't want to listen to daddy. They don't want to listen to the school teacher. They don't want to listen to the coach. They just want freedom. And so they join the army. Hallelujah. You have just run into some big devils there. Are you out there? And that, in many cases, that is the best thing they could do. The best thing they could do, because there will be somebody in their face that won't be quite as kind as Mama was. Or won't be held down by the rules and regulations of the educational system like the coach was. They will literally jerk the slack out of you. And you will either break or you will make. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Now, as she prayed over me and I received by faith a new anointing. And what she said was absolutely true. And God has done a wonderful thing. We're on now, I don't know what, 25 times a day, something like that, around the country. Then the Lord said, you know, start this church, plant this church. New levels, what? Bigger devils. New levels, bigger devils. And so, you know, when problems come, you can look at it as, this is my chance to escape, or this is my ticket to a miracle. I want you to write this down in your notes. Problems are tickets to miracles. I want you to write that down. Problems are tickets to miracles. Now, tickets can be used or lost. If somebody gives you a ticket, Braves game ticket, I mean, you're entitled to go there. It's been bought and paid for, and maybe the company, you know, gave it to you, or a friend gave it to you. I mean, you could go to that Braves game, or you could miss it. Everybody say, I'm going to use my ticket. Now, look at this in Colossians. Are you getting anything out of this? Ooh, I'll tell you what, my radar's locked on. We're following God. Actually, I want to go to Colossians 1. It's chapter 1 right at the end. Colossians 1, and these are powerful verses. You don't hear them talked about too much, but I want you to mark verses 27, 28, and 29. We're talking about the purposes of God for your life. Colossians 1, 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And here's that mystery. Mark this in verse 27. Which is Christ in you, the hope of what? Woo! Hallelujah. Now, you could interpret that a couple of ways. Christ in me gives me the hope for heaven. I believe that that's a good interpretation of that. But how many of you realize glory is not just limited to over yonder? So Christ in me becomes the hope of Jason walking into a realm of glory. What is the glory? The glory is the presence of God, the purposes of God, the plans of God, the pursuits of God. It's a hope. It's not a guarantee. Christ is in me, and if I will yield to Christ in me, I will walk into that glory. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
Now you got to say it right. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
You got to say it right. You don't just say glory. You say glory. Amen. You got to get it down right. Verse 27, which is the hope of glory. Now look at verse 28 and 29. Here's the fundamental purpose of God for every Christian. Whom we preach, warning some men. Is that what yours says? Oh, I'm sorry, I misread that. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, underline this, that we may present every man, underline this, perfect in Christ Jesus. I'm going to kind of play around with that a little bit. Paul's saying this. He's saying, you know what my job is. Here's my job. My job is to preach, teach everybody I come across, not only bring them to Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, but now laboring to present them mature in Christ, developed in Christ. And a big part of that development is attitude, the mind of Christ, and how do we see the challenges that come our way. There are tickets to miracles. There are opportunities for a new level. Amen. Now let's read the next verse. He says, every man, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Verse 29, whereunto I also labor. Circle the word labor. It's not easy. Everybody say it's not easy. I wish I could just, you know, and you do too. I wish we could just lay hands on one another, don't you? Receive maturity. Hallelujah. Receive maturity. Doesn't work that way. And to be quite honest with you, and I'm not putting down the blessing meetings, okay? I love to go to meetings where I get blessed, and it's just nothing but a blessing meeting. In fact, this Sunday morning, I'm going to be talking about the benefits of the Word. We've been talking about, you know, the preeminence of the Word, the seed of the Word, engrafting the Word. We're talking about the benefits of the Word. It's going to be a very positive, uplifting thing. Most people like those messages. But when they come to this thing, laboring for Christ to be formed in you, it's like, you know, I'm out of here. I'll get the tape and I won't listen to it. Whereunto I also labor, striving. I mean, there's some descriptive terms there. Everybody say striving. According to His working, which worketh in me mightily. So He says, I'm working hard, but it's not just me. It's Christ in me, the power of God in me doing that. Aren't you glad we're not on our own? Everybody put your hand right here in your chest. Everybody say this out loud. The Spirit of God is helping me by His grace. Where I fall short, God makes up the difference. All I have to do is yield. Hallelujah. St. John 16. St. John 16. St. John chapter 16. Verse 33. I bet you this was not marked in your Bible. It is? Hallelujah. Very last verse. St. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have what? Somebody help me preach. That you might have what?
Peace.
In the world you shall have, oh glory. In the world you shall have tribulation. Oh, I wonder if we're going to go through the tribulation, Brother Jason. You're in it. not the tribulation, but you're in tribulation. In the world you shall have tribulation. You're going to have problems. You're going to have opportunities come your way. But be of good cheer. Mark this, mark it, and put a star by it. I have overcome the world. And I'll tell you, that world is not only on the outside. That world is right in here so often. Brother, I'm looking for that peace. I'm looking for the peace. All right, hold your finger right there and don't leave there yet. Go to chapter 14. Just kind of hang a left. Chapter 14, go up to verse 27. What kind of peace is it? It's that always that feel-good peace. Did you know there's an artificial peace? There's a flesh peace. That, you know, your flesh can do certain things that will give you a temporary peace and pleasure, but it's not the peace of God's will. Look at verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives." So I want you to see that. There's two kinds of peace. And you really need to be discerning in your life between the peace of God and the peace of the world, or what I might call the peace of the flesh. "Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." I want you to please underline that. It's up to you. Let not. Everybody say, let not. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So watch this. Here comes a problem. Here comes a test. Here comes a trial. And the tendency is for my heart to get troubled. We've all been there. Amen? Don't look at it like you've never been there. You've been there. You might be there right now. Where there's a situation that's troubling you. It's harassing you. Let not. See, my heart belongs to me, not to the world or not to the devil. The trouble will try to get on it. Let not your heart be troubled. Father, I just thank you. I just thank you that I'm yielding to you in dependency. Now write this down, because this is a key, probably the key to our study tonight. We're talking about problems equal opportunities. In the midst of the problem, put this in your own shorthand. In the midst of the problem, increase your dependency on God. In the midst of the problem, increase your dependency on God. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, there's a lot of ways. You know the ways. You reinforce the Word within your heart. I just gave you one. You hold on to the peace of God. Don't bail out, because the peace of the world will want you to back off and bail out. And there'll be a temporary relief or peace, but that's not what you're after. Now, Karen, I want you to come up here. This wasn't planned, but I want you to come up here. And would you share what you shared in the office back there? And I want to get this on the tape. So, again, I've got to stretch my mic cord here. And I'm unbuttoning my shirt just to get my cord out. Amen. Hallelujah. Hopefully this thing won't short circuit on me. Oh, I felt the power. Yes, amen. Karen, share what you shared happened. Was it today that this happened? And just preach a little bit.
All right.
Hold that.
I had an opportunity to be discouraged and dismayed today at work. I'm a contractor, and when I first started, I was working part-time. That's what I wanted to do. But for financial reasons, and my husband and I didn't have benefits because his job doesn't provide benefits, we needed somebody that was providing benefits. So I decided to go to work full-time. We decided to go to work full-time. And I told my employer this, and they had made lots of promises. Yes, we've got a position for you. We've got plenty of room for you. And I've been there since January. If you know anything about contracting jobs don't usually last that long. And I've been through so much there and worked so hard. I just knew that this was coming through. Well, today I found out that they hired somebody else to take my place. And it just broke my heart. It really broke my heart, because everybody had given me such positive affirmation. And so as I was getting in the car, I was trying to make a decision that I was going to react differently. I was going to be different.
Say that again.
I was going to react differently.
You made a decision?
I made a decision. I did. I had to make a decision.
Now, can I ask something right here?
Mm-hmm.
And I am probing for a reason.
Okay.
You said your heart was broken.
Mm-hmm.
You were looking forward to that. You're kind of envisioning yourself in that position.
Mm-hmm.
Your hope was up,
mm-hmm.
and then your hopes are dashed.
Mm-hmm.
How did your flesh feel?
I felt hurt. I felt betrayed. I felt like, you know, I'd put in so much into this, but see, that's the key. I had put in my hope in something that wasn't from God. It wasn't of God. And so I asked the Lord to minister to me, and the Lord just began to remind me about my identity, who I was.
That's good. Preach
and
it.
I didn't need a job to define me. So I just began to sit in the car, and I just began to sing to the Lord and just to remind myself of who I was in God. And, you know, sometimes in the workplace, it's really easy to just get distracted about why you're there. And for those of us that are out there in the workforce, you know, we get attached to those benefits and we get attached to our positions and that sort of thing. But did you know you're not there for that reason? We're not here on this earth for that reason. We're here to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So if He allows it, then that's good enough for me.
Amen. Pray, give her a great big hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, that is so awesome when she shared that. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes when the Holy Spirit starts, you know, changing your message, and you got to understand, I mean, I prayed, I studied, I did an outline, and it's like, hey, this is my message. Well, you're going to mess around with my message now. Everybody say, follow the Holy Ghost. And so, you know, on the way over here, I was going through these scriptures in my mind and so forth like that, and walk in, and Karen shares this. I said, man, that is so on target, you know. And here's a living testimony. Now, I will say this, Karen. So often we'll get a glimpse of the victory, but then we'll wake up the next morning and it'll hit us. And we've got to continually, at times, cast it over on the Lord. Now, I will tell you, God is going to honor what you've done. Everybody say humility.
Humility.
Everybody say humility.
Humility.
Always brings
promotion.
That is so critical to this study. That dependency on God that I'm talking about is the humility that God's after. Remember that old deal? What was that dance called? The limbo? I wouldn't even dare try to do it now, you know. I'd be slain in the spirit. That's what happened, you know. But, you know, maybe they'd go back like this, and how low can you go? And I've seen some, you know, video clips. I mean, some people, it's like they're just, you know, at a 90-degree angle going down low. And if you can get hold of this in the Spirit, how low can you go? Husbands and wives, get a hold of this now in a marriage. How low can you go? What do we mean by that? Well, when there comes an opportunity for an offense, or there comes an opportunity for a disagreement or an argument, you can either take the highway, which is hold on to your rights, hold on to what you think is absolutely right, and you can enforce that, or you can go the low road, that's humility. I think of Karen. Karen could have just said, how dare they? And I bet you your flesh, part of your flesh wanted to do that. You're almost there. She's an honest woman. Hallelujah. God's going to honor that. You know, to walk in there and say, how dare you suggest that I could have this position? And then, you know, you hire somebody else. Don't even tell me. I find out through the grapevine or have it happen. But, you know, she's gone the low route, which is dependency, humility. God's going to promote you. God's going to promote you through that. It's a guarantee in the Word of God. All through the Word of God. Crucifixion brings resurrection. Crucifixion brings resurrection. If you try to avoid Gethsemane, if you try to avoid the cross, you will not have a resurrection. Oh, glory. We're talking about, anybody out there want to do the will of God? I know you do. The will of God. Go back to St. John chapter 16 before we move on. Verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In me, not in the world. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Now, we won't turn there, but for the sake of time, but let me just remind you of this. You may want to jot this reference down. I want to go to another place, actually. In fact, start turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But you may want to jot this other reference down. Do you remember our study on the parable? Those of you that were with us on a Sunday, we studied the parable of the sower. We're talking about the seed. One of the categories called the rocky soil, it said the seed was sown and with joy received it for a while. But then it says, then comes offenses, then comes tribulation. Different versions put it a different way. And the word is just taken away out of their heart. And so often God's intending to promote us, or, as I said, move us to a higher level spiritually, develop us the fullness of the stature of Christ. move us into a new level of dependency on God, where God's moving in our life. And if we bail out, we miss that promotion. So all promotions are not outwardly like I believe you're going to get. The biggest promotion you've got is your testimony, what you just said. You know what that tells me? That tells me that you are at a whole new level of your Christian growth. 2 years ago, would you have reacted like that? 1 year ago, would you have reacted like that? Jesus is doing a work. Hallelujah. All right, now, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want to look at Paul in the midst of trouble. How many of you believe Paul ever had some trouble? He was just an apostle. Everywhere he went, he would just, people would fall over. Things would happen. Are you kidding yourself? Chapter 1, go to verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant. I want you to mark that. Everybody say, don't be ignorant. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our what? Now, hey. That's different than a lot of preachers. And see, I'm a faith preacher, and if you've been around me, you know I'm a word man. And I want you to be a word believer. Not just a Christian. I want you to be a believer that believes in the Word. But I'll tell you where I do part ways with some so-called faith teachers, and that is they never share their struggles. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant of my trouble. He didn't say I'm hiding it and covering it up because it's something to be ashamed of. He said, hey, out there I want you to know I had some trouble. Hallelujah. And he's getting ready to give a testimony, basically like Karen's testimony. Look at verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Have you ever felt like this in verse 8? Please mark this. That we were pressed out of measure above strength insomuch that we despaired even of life. How many of you ever felt so pressed, oppressed, beat down, that it's like, I don't think I'm going to make it through this? Now, I've just got to read this from the Amplified. I have no idea what it says, but I like the Amplified a lot, and I want to read this. What verse is that? Verse 8? Look at this. I'm going to read verse 8. For we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about the affliction and oppressing distress which befell us in the province of Asia, how we were so utterly and unbearably weighed down and crushed that we despaired even of life itself. Verse 9, indeed, we felt within ourselves that we had received the very sentence of death. But that was, underline this, here it is, but that was to keep us from trusting in and depending on ourselves instead of God who raises the dead. Honey, there is the answer right there. He said, you know what? It just reminded me to depend on God. I came to the end of myself and I said, what am I going to do now? And it reminded me to depend on a God who raises the dead. And see, here's where the gospel is so different than self-help teaching. Self-help teaching bases all of its effects on what you can do yourself. The gospel says, no, there is help, but it's not found in self. It's found when you come to the end of self. Anybody in here ever come to the end of self? Anybody in here just felt like, man, I just can't handle this anymore? Then you are positioned for a miracle. You are in the place that God attempts to bring every believer. God attempts to bring every believer to the point of crucifixion, where they say, I cannot trust in myself to fulfill this mission. I cannot trust in self to build this church. I cannot trust in self, skills, cleverness of speech, articulate communication to raise the money I need to get that space next door. I can't do it, but I know somebody who can. I'm dependent on Jesus. Everybody say, my problems are my tickets to miracles. Now, are we just preaching or do you believe that? It's like, we've got a friend, his name's Bill Liggett, and his little boy once when he was just young, heard him telling some story, and so at lunch his little boy said, "Daddy, was that true or were you just preaching?" And I'm afraid that's the way we are in the body of Christ sometimes. We just like to preach about it, and we don't really believe it's true. Oh, we'll sing about the glory, but we don't understand the glory involves Gethsemane. Chapter 1. Hallelujah. Am I hot or what? Thank you, Jesus. And I'll tell you, the only reason I'm hot is because I lay on my bed this afternoon and said, I'm at the end of myself. Anybody had a fun week? Just a couple little things this week. Our air conditioner broke at our home. I'm talking about at our home. Our air conditioner broke, what was it, last week sometime? Last Friday night. And so, you do the routine. You call the air conditioner people and they came out and the guy thought it was just low on Freon. He filled it up. Well, it leaked out before the next day, really. It had all leaked out. So we call them, and every time you call them, it's like they'll be there at the most in 2 days or 3 days. So I go out and I buy fans. We got fans in the house, and it's like, man, this is hot in here. And so I had a little attitude adjustment. See, your first reaction is, bless God, I'm a king's kid. I rebuke this in Jesus' name. Anybody ever out there like that? I deserve better than this. This is a devil in my air conditioner. I command that devil to come out. Well, the Freon came out, not the devil. So the guy came back out the next time and he said, well, actually, it's your, what do they call that coil? The cooling coil or something, It's like $1,000. It's not the main unit. It's, what is that thing called? Condenser coil. Yeah, or something like that. And so I was out there and I said, are they all $1,000, He said, $1,000. I said, well, can you get one and put it in like now? Tomorrow? He said, it'll be Saturday. So we come through this whole week. I'm talking about tomorrow. And so I'm just praying, oh God, please let them remember to come to my house tomorrow. Amen. So this whole week we have had an opportunity. Everybody say opportunity. Then Ryan and I, we were doing some of the missionary mail outs. Actually, Ryan was doing most of it. And so he calls me up and I know his voice. Had a little quiver in his voice. Dad. And if he needs help on adjusting the machine or what, we're talking like 14,000 letters, folks. 14,000 letters that have to be inserted, stuff sealed, zip sorted. The ladies know all about the joys of that. And he said, Dad, he said, the machine just made this big boom noise and the chain won't move anymore. Oh, glory. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
That's truer than you realize. I will tell you, I look back, and in our family, man, we've had a good attitude about this air conditioner. We really have. Took a little, we've adjusted.
Saturday,
we did not. Okay, Saturday, we did not. The wife will tell on you, amen. So I come over here, and I'm sitting there trying to get the machine to move, and I call up the guy, and he said, I probably can't get there for about, 4 days, or whatever it was. I'm like, what? I mean, we got to get these letters out for our missionaries. I mean, their funds are dependent on it, their mission work dependent on it, this kind of stuff like that. And it turns out we just gave it to God. And you know what? The guy came. He actually turned around and said he was going to come that afternoon, like around 6. He came like in an hour or so. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
And there's been other things. But the point is this. Our problems become our tickets to a new level of exactly what Paul said, dependency on God. Anybody in here can relate to this, or am I preaching to myself? Read on. Verse 9. I'm going to read that again. I want to read this from the Amplified. He says, indeed we felt within ourselves that we had received the very sentence of death, but that was to keep us from trusting in and depending on ourselves instead of on God who raises the dead. Verse 10. Now see, verse 10, you may want to put this in the margin. It has a past, present, and future tense to it. Verse 10, he says, for it is He who rescued and saved us from such a perilous death. Everybody say past tense.
Past tense.
And He will still rescue and save us. That's now. And on Him we have set our hope, our joyful and confident expectation that He will again deliver us, that's future tense, from danger and destruction and draw us to Himself. Now let's not leave out verse 11 because we need to pray for one another. Did you know that prayer for one another is so important? Did you know we sin by not praying for one another? Most of the times we think of sin as an act that we commit. Some of the sins in our lives are sins of omission. We didn't do things that we should have done. And one of the things I'm convinced of is that we're so wrapped up in our own world, we don't pray for the person so often that's in our home, or pray for the person that's in our office, or pray for the neighbor across the street that we don't know very well. We're not praying. But Paul says this. He said, it's not just God. And this is important, lest we let this slip. Verse 11. He says in verse 11, you also helping together by prayer for us. I want you to mark that. Did you know when we pray, we help that process occur of dependency? So somebody else who's they're just about to falter, they're just about down, our prayers somehow, in a way that it's hard to describe in the Spirit, it's like a pipeline. It allows God access to them in a way that maybe at that point they are not tapped into the dependency yet themselves, but we can begin to help them, lift them up, get them on their feet, and then they'll begin to depend on God themselves. Verse 11, you also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given to many on our behalf. Basically, he's just saying, not only did you pray, a lot of people prayed, and so, you know, it's not just us, you guys get some credit too. You guys have helped the process of the gospel going out by praying for our apostolic team. I'm paraphrasing, that's what Paul said. So what is the bottom line? The bottom line is that we are in a process all of our lives of maturity. Maturing to what? To the very image of Jesus Christ. In one place, we won't turn there, but I'm mindful of this. In Galatians, Paul says, until Christ be formed in you. Very interesting thought. Till Christ be formed in you. Almost like a pregnancy. Almost like a mother who's bringing to full term. You know, no, not yet. The child's not yet fully formed. No, not yet, not yet. Finally, the delivery day comes. And our delivery day, of course, will be in the resurrection. Amen. When we get our resurrected bodies and our souls and our spirits are reunited, spirit, soul, and body in the resurrected glory of God. Until then, we are in the process of developing, and how we respond to situations is all critical to that process. How many of you want to yield to the Spirit? Karen, thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Man, that I tell you, when you shared that out of obedience to God, and maybe you... Did you almost hesitate to share that back there? See, that was a confirmation to Pastor to pursue this. Amen. Father, we thank You for what You're doing. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, we thank You that when we fall down, You pick us up. We thank You that, Father, when we come to the end of ourselves, there is a power beyond self. Lord, we thank You when we're at the end of our finances, there's finances beyond our finances. There's peace beyond our peace. There's encouragement beyond our courage. Father, we thank You for the power of Jesus Christ in us. Could we stand up?